and barging into your living room or tent space next on the stream of free radio at freakradio.org or on the Huff archives at huffsantacruz.org. It's Bathrop Spears Broadsides, the May 13th, 2021 edition. This is a Thursday show. We're going to be roaming through the benchlands and the remains of Highway 1 and Highway 9, what remained of it, actually even less remains of it today in terms of the living spaces of people who lived there but were given no place to go when they were rousted by Caltrans with the connivance and encouragement of Dustheart Donna Myers, the mayor of Santa Cruz, who sent a letter to Gavin Newsom, the governor, requesting that Caltrans be unleashed against the local homeless. And, of course, she had only the most strongest concerns that the county help to find housing for the folks whose tents she was urging the destruction of, and, in fact, resulted in the demolition of. Well, anyway, let's jump into that and try not to get too discouraged.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
So let's begin with what was earlier today probably the most pressing issue in the minds of some homeless activists, the court status hearing in the case of the Homeless Union versus the City of Santa Cruz over the issue of the continued injunction in the San Lorenzo Park, in this case, the benchlands portion of San Lorenzo Park. This is an injunction that was in place since December, as a TRO, and then it became an injunction a week or two later. And it has remained that way ever since until March, when the court essentially moved the encampment into the benchlands in order to give the city a chance to, quote, clean things up while at the same time maintaining the court-enjoined protection of the campground given the, well, for my mind, ridiculous dispersion, cruel, callous, and costly dispersion of the attempted dispersion that Martin Bernal, the city manager, did back in mid-December in his December 17th edict, in which he ordered everyone to move out by January 3rd or 4th, thereabouts, and sent in the police to do that job, and they scared away about a third of the people there. But a community response on December 28th resisting police invasion and trampling upon the camp stopped that for a day, and the court then moved to issue a TRO. The issue here to today's hearing was whether this injunction should be continued or whether we've reached a level of sufficient safety in the COVID crisis. There's sufficient danger to the community and to the park itself through the presence of homeless people in the park to warrant lifting the injunction and essentially sending in the dogs of the city, so to speak. Now, that's sort of a nasty way to refer to dogs, I've got to say. So I have a number of thoughts as to how both sides, the city and the homeless union, conducted the trial, and whether it did or did not represent the interests of the people in the park or the broader homeless community outside the park. I'll probably talk about that in the course of, if not this particular Metcast, maybe the one on Sunday, which is longer. But let's go directly to actually the ultimate ruling of Judge Susan Van Coolen, who listened to both sides for about 45 minutes and then came back with this.
Helpful. I appreciate it. Okay. Here's how I want to proceed. I would like some more, I want a little more time for the modified community injunction with regards to the Benchlands encampment to get underway and operate. It seems to be off to a good start. I also want to get a little more distance with regards to the continuing downward trends in the COVID metrics and the upward trends in the vaccination metrics. I do appreciate that there are challenges in good record keeping on the unsheltered population. What I'm really most interested in is evidence of the efforts to make vaccine available. And I have seen those efforts in the declarations that were provided. But if we can have, whatever information there is of supporting that, supporting, for example, the representations made in court today, if there are the right people involved, whether it's a camp steward or others, who can attest to the fact that, they've gone tent to tent and made offers of vaccines. It's hard to know what more you can do. I know Mr. Prince, you'd like to see more information and education. I don't know what the evidence is. And I'm obviously interested in that effort. That goes hand in hand with the passage of time and the smooth running of the camp. And as I said, I also have in mind, only because the governor picked it, the June 15th date of reopening and of abandoning the tier levels. Santa Cruz, like Santa Clara, is still in the orange tier, but that's a lot better place than where we've been. So, what I'm going to do is set us for a hearing on June 29, and that will be essentially an order to show cause as to why the injunction should not be dissolved at that time. And I'll take submissions from the parties on the 22nd, that's 7 days in advance. And I'm setting it there because I want that to follow the June 15 reopening day. I want us to get through the next 30 days, get to that reopening, and then have the parties. That's, I think, a good time to evaluate, put your information in the status report to me, and then we will convene on the 29th at 11 a.m. And it would, as I say, that'll be in order to show cause as to why the injunction should not dissolve at that time. In the interim, the parties are directed to meet and convert over the issues that have been raised here today, particularly what does post-injunction, what does management of the camp look like? Do you need continued court supervision of that, or is there enough of a process in place and an agreement between the parties that they'll continue to engage in that process for some period of time? And maybe not. Maybe the parties can't agree. Maybe they have very different views. But it sounds like both sides could benefit from meet and confer. I'm interested in the camp stewards. That certainly sounds like the city has made some resources available to handle some part-time employees. That's their job and focus. And let's, I think you all need to talk more about that. And then you can report back to me. So that's how I see us proceeding at this point. And with an end in sight, assuming that all of the numbers continue as we want them to, and that the management of the benchlands is settled in, and is, that that modified injunction served its necessary purpose.
So that's pretty much the nub of it. The court has said it's given a month and a half reprieve to the folks in the benchlands, although, of course, they're in a much more crowded situation than they were up in the Upper Park area. Other folks have come in based upon, of course, the city's encouragement of and the Caltrans precipitous with no shelter, exclusion, eviction, removal of people from the Highway 1, Highway 9 intersection camps. And that being the case, some cynics might say this is a recipe by the city designed to have the camp fail by through overcrowding. And they also, apparently, there is a plan to put Harvey West's encampment, as you may have heard from Brent Adams, a supporter of that Harvey West community understanding encampment. I don't think I've got the terminology he uses, but something along those lines. That is being announced. Susie O'Hara, the homeless czarina here, along with Lee Butler, who I guess is the top banana in this particular situation, who it's coming, this forced movement of people from Harvey West, again, into the Benchlands camp. I guess the theory was put on the people will be put on the far side of the bridge, the Dragon's Head Bridge crossing the river. I don't know if that was called Dragon's Head, but it's the river, the bridge between River Street and the park. So I'll be talking more about my sense of the strategy, good and bad, the choices that I think seem to have been made, the unfortunate situation about the continued lack of transparency by the Union of the Homeless attorney and officers here in Santa Cruz around this issue. And I understand some of the reason is to cater to one of the few attorneys who is willing to put in a lot of energy, a lot of time, and a lot of sweat into fighting for the rights of homeless people, and for which he's to be commended. However, it's being done in an authoritarian and less transparent manner, which concerns me, and I've talked about this on the air before, and we'll probably continue to talk about it. But let's not talk about it now. Let's go to the people in the park. Or actually, before the people in the park, let's talk to some of the folks at Highway 1 and 9 who on Monday, well, that was their deadline. I guess 8 o'clock Monday morning was their deadline for leaving and going nowhere, in essence, because they were given no accommodations to go to, either by the city, by the county, or by Caltrans.
So it's about 8 o'clock on May 10th, 2021. I'm making my way to the Caltrans Highway 1, Highway 9 sweep. Through via the railroad track. Of the fences are back removed from the Housing Matters side of Coral Street. A few people are sleeping on the ground and the cement factory is going strong on my right. A few people camped along the railroad tracks between Coral Street and Highway 1, at least close to Coral Street. In fact, nobody really. People are, looks like they're preparing to leave. Probably today is not the best day for flyering.
I was distributing a flyer urging people to help stop the sweeps, primarily intended for housed folks, or folks at least who are in the middle of not in the middle of moving to somewhere else. The flyer, "Stop the Next Sweep," was what it was entitled, said that essentially it was an appeal to the community to maybe mobilize again to do something to independently of what the city bureaucrats were doing with their legal games or the court was doing with its trust the city to come up with a good benchland solution, but rather recognizing that all these sweeps, when there's no other alternatives for people to go to, no other places, are abusive, unconstitutional, inhumane, and ultimately counterproductive for the entire community. It's the whack-a-mole situation, which, well, I heard an I think I read something interesting by some NIMBYs online who have suddenly developed a new compassionate clothing or garb or cloak they use. Maybe they don't even know it's a cloak, but it's, in essence, what they say is, we just don't want to play whack-a-mole on those poor homeless people. Let's just move them out. So, see, that's their solution. They're saving the homeless from the whack-a-mole game. Anyway, back to the Caltrans whack-a-mole.
Morning. What's happening here?
I'm moving us around as usual.
Moving you around? Here, have a piece of propaganda. You know, can't stop this one, I don't know, but maybe the next one.
Yeah.
So how, may I ask you how long you got any time to talk or not?
I grew up on the west side, so, you know, I'm getting tired of it. I can't take any shortcuts and like cheat and take the easy way out. And, you know.
How long you been outside?
About the better part of 20 years.
And where were you before this?
Sandlow Park. I gave the benchland a try. Started getting comfortable. Started progressing, and then they gave us 5 days to get the fuck out of there.
That was a while ago, right?
Yeah.
And they're moving people around here, there as well.
Oh yeah. I know for a fact they're going to be coming and doing their sweep today because they cleared out the upper. There's a lot of people, so I'm not going. Everything I had got stolen there twice, you know.
So, what about here? How has it been for you here?
Fine, because of that little tiny network of people right here just trying to keep the theft down. Fine as in theft, but I mean, this isn't, I don't want no roots here. You know,
are you moving together or are you moving alone?
Unfortunately, I'm trying to branch off. I'm branching off. I had a spot for almost 10 years, and they hired a whole crew to make a road to get to me. And that's almost been 2 years now, and it's been hell.
Are they offering you any other place to go?
Just yesterday, there was a lady talking about maybe some sort of hotel at a Bostonville or something. I'm not going to keep my fingers crossed, but. It sure would be nice to get a break from all this mess, but...
Did she actually offer you a voucher or anything?
Just filled out my name and such, like, and I gave her a number. So, time will tell, you know. Nothing instantaneous. Nothing that they could have maybe done a month ago.
Do you have a phone number yourself?
I do, yeah.
Can I get you to write your name and phone number so I can contact you later to see if they actually did any of this shit or not?
Yeah, I'm trying to give you the... I'm trying to remember. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm gonna write down. I'll give you my mother's. Yeah, there we go. I'll just put my.
You got an email or a number, whatever you got.
Yeah, all right. Thank you.
Print it really simple, like I'm a 6-year-old, because that's me.
I got that. Okay, tell me if you can read after I'm done here. I'm bad. I ride like a 6-year-old.
that's
Nathan Harding.
Uh huh. Nathan Harding.
I appreciate what you're doing. I very much so appreciate it. I mean, I imagine you've been here for some years and you've probably been seeing it going on for a while.
Too much. Luckily, I'm inside, so I don't have to worry about this shit. I can just wander around.
I'm on Social Security, so I'm real close. I've been on a list and this and that. They kind of like lost it and denied it, man, and gave me a bunch of hope and then pushed, you know. But meanwhile, out here, it's just so damn hard.
How long have you lived here?
Well, I grew up.
Which I mean on the railroad track.
Oh, I've only been, I was in the RCC right on the other side of the wall there. And I conflict of interest with the roommate that was, anyways, and so I got exited, as they call it. And so that was about 2 months ago.
Tate Smith Community House? Or?
The RCC, Recovery Care Center, I think they call it.
How was that?
It was so-so, other than the theft from the particular individual. It was so-so, yeah. It was
How
all right.
How many people were there?
One per room, four in that alley. Yeah, it was all right.
How long were you able to live there?
2 months, I think, something like that. Close to 2 months. I would still be in there if there wasn't that conflict of interest. And basically, he was stealing from me, and I just couldn't put up with it anymore. It was going to be him or me, and so I ended up having to leave. So
this was inside a managed and funded facility you were still getting stolen from.
Worse than out here, yeah, unfortunately. And he was getting pampered. I'm not trying to make it seem like point a finger or take any sides. I saw what was... I was having to deal with it, and I couldn't, so...
Did you ask for any help from the authorities?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What was their reaction?
God, in so many words, kind of a false hope of... we'll deal with him kind of thing. You know, it's like, we have a lot of mentally ill people, as you well know, around here and stuff. We also have a lot of fakers. And, they really work it. And, the staff has a tendency, in my opinion, to pick and choose their particular favorites. And that can be hard when you're telling them, when your truth is not enough for them to take interest on that level.
Many people sick with COVID in this situation.
No. To be honest, I haven't met one. I haven't seen one person. They claim there's a couple in there or something. No, I haven't seen one person with it. I haven't lost anyone to it. No, I'm not getting my shots. I'm not lining up.
Do you want to say who you are?
Yeah, my name is Nathan Harding. So.
Any other thoughts you want to pass on?
If you have any ability to slow them down, let us get our stuff out of here. I'd appreciate it.
I will hit them with my stick. Or I will poke my...
What's your name?
I'm Robert. Let me give you my card.
Please.
And it's musical break time. Let's break.
There's a quiet old lady. She lives on my street. Her house is so tidy, her house is so neat, that no one suspected, though hard they might try, what that little old lady was doing on the sly. She's someone's grandmother, with hair snowy white, and the FBI's hot on her trail tonight. She's down in Brazil with the janitor Hank and the loot from the Kugelsberg National Bank. Well, the Kugelsberg Bank had an audit today, and I mean to tell you, there's all hell to pay. She had filched all that money in tiny amounts from 183 dormant accounts. She's someone's grandmother with hair snowy white, and the FBI's hot on her trail tonight. She's down in Brazil with the janitor Hank and the loot from the Kugelsberg National Bank. Well, the children all loved her, and the grown-ups would vie for a piece of her old-fashioned blueberry pie. And no one suspected, no, not even Hank, she'd been juggling the books at the Kugelsberg Bank. She's someone's grandmother with hair snowy white. She's someone's grandmother with hair snowy. The FBI's hot, the FBI's hot on her trail. She's down in Brazil, she's down in Brazil, with the janitor Hank and the loot from the Kugelsberg National Bank. She had worked 20 years, she never took a vacation. The president said that was real dedication. Regarding a subject, she always stayed mute. She would simply smile sweetly and pile up the loot. She's someone's grandmother She's someone's grandmother with hair snowy white. FBI, the FBI's hot on her trail. Brazil, she's down in Brazil with the janitor hat and the loot from the Kugelsberg National Bank. She gave to the church. No thoughts were higher. Her voice, like an angel's, rang out from the choir. But from her bedroom window, there shines no more light. She is dying in Rio Janeiro. She's someone's grandmother with hair snowy white, and the FBI's caught on a trail. Tonight, she's down in Brazil with the janitor Hank and the loot from the Kugelsberg National Bank.
And that was a Charlie King song from the cassette Vaguely Reminiscent. Name of the song, Kugelsberg Bank. Back to grimmer times along the railroad tracks last Monday. In your hometown, or your town anyway, maybe.
About as dirty as these rats running around here, man, right now. I went all night until I couldn't. Now my stuff's all up in this particular spot, just covered with trying to hide until I can get back up there and just... I'm going to try to recruit somebody so we can have a team, like, kind of, you know, when I'm gone, he's there. When he's gone, I'm, you know, that kind of thing. So, right. Otherwise, the inevitable is going to happen. You know, all my stuff's going to slowly deplete, and it's stressful, you know. It just makes you wonder.
Is there any talk of taking your community here somewhere else?
Poganip, there's some talk of Poganip that they've, the county has, like, opened up to a certain degree. I have to go see with my own eyes first, and I'm kind of... At this point, I'm very reluctant to try to coexist around a network of people that are watching you come and go, because there's so many addicts right now that desperation is their excuse for any sort of mischief. And it just makes for a really crappy existence down here. It hurts to say that. I try to preach the right word and, you know, do unto others as what you want done to yourself, and it unfortunately, it isn't seen as much as, since it's not, not yet, you know, they're not tired of it yet, or something, so hopefully that'll start to turn around, you know, so.
Thank you, Nathan. I'm Robert again. That's my number.
Thank you, Robert.
Call me, let me know.
I will
probably try to call you. This is your number
This is actually my mother's number, mom's number, who up on the west side, who I haven't talked to. I don't want to burden her with my hardships, and it's been...
Do you have a number yourself?
Yeah, I do, but I can't. I don't know it for. I never call myself, and I've only had it. It's an Obama phone. So I will call you and give it to you.
That'll be good.
Because it's dead right now. So I will do that.
You know, they have charging stations at the Benchland.
Thank you.
Anyway.
I will. You know what? Thank you for pointing that out and reminding me of it, because I start to feel like there's nothing. There's no resource. You know. It's amazing how many bathrooms there are.
Really?
Aren't.
Right. Thank you, Nathan.
Take care, Robert. Caring, you know.
Well, thank you, man.
Yeah.
For taking the time on a busy day, right?
Yeah,
right. Yeah, I leave a flyer as... There's lots of tents, whether it's maybe half a dozen tents or piles of property here. So what's happening?
What's wrong?
They driving people away?
Yeah.
Where are people going? Here's a flyer if you want one.
Thank you.
It doesn't offer much help, but... You know, they're doing this shit in different places, too, so... I'm doing this for free radio. Any thoughts about this?
sucks. And should have a place for us to go. You know what I mean?
So, what did they tell you, and how much warning did they give you?
They gave us on Friday. They gave us the notice of 72 hours, I guess.
And how long have you been here?
Almost a year.
And how has it treated you here?
By who? The law enforcement or by people?
Both.
Law enforcement, they've pretty much been all right. They've left us alone. People, 50-50, you know. Some people are, you know, they're cool, you know, or they just, you know, don't bother. So then you got, you know, like the Take Back Santa Cruz people that like to drive and honk and shit like that, you know. But
How about fellow residents?
Oh, yeah, it's been fine. Yeah.
Is there much cooperation among the people here who are living here?
Yeah, for the most part, I'd say so. You know, we just wish, you know, what makes us look bad is all the trash, you know what I mean? And if there was somebody that would actually, you know, if we had like a big trash bin, we wouldn't have it like that. You know, we'd have it all picked up, you know what I mean? But they just, we, you know, get very limited, you know, I guess access to, you know, proper trash receptacles. Otherwise, it wouldn't look so bad, you know. We don't like it. We hate how it looks too. But it's just, if you have nowhere to put it, you know, or they only give us one little trash bin, then can't really do much with that, you know. I mean, it's
did you have much increase in trash collection from the city in the last few months?
No.
So there was some illusion that there was some big bins put in down there later, but that there wasn't much.
No. When they had that thing that they left it there for like a day or something, it was, yeah, you know, you need something like that, just, you know, one of those to just, you know, for a whole month, you know what I mean, just pick it up once a month and that'd be fine. All just, you know, the trash.
How about Sharps containers?
What about them?
Is there a Sharps container down here?
I know that they're available, yeah. I mean, they're around if you need one, yeah.
What percentage of the people here would you say are using hard drugs to the extent of being dysfunctional, you know, not being able to deal with shit? Or because some people, you know, they use them and that's just part of their life. But what's the story about... Hey, Gloria. What's your name, man?
Paul.
This is Gloria.
Hi, nice to meet you.
And I'm Robert Paul.
Good to meet you, Robert.
Yeah. So in other words... Well, is there much theft down here between people?
No, we don't like that. Yeah, you get weeded out real quick for that. Really? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
where do you plan to go, if you want to say? Any ideas about what you're going to do next?
I don't know. Just go somewhere where hopefully we can stay for a minute, I guess, you know. But I don't know.
Will you be moving alone or with other people?
I'll probably follow the group, you know. It's safety in numbers, you know, so... Yeah, I'll probably follow where everyone else goes, I guess. You know, either maybe the Pogo Nips or something. I don't know. We don't know yet. We're still kind of...
How much stuff do you have to move?
Not too much, really, I guess. I mean, well, enough to be a pain, kind of. I don't know. Tools, you know, are heavy. Tools and, yeah, you know, bedding and clothes. Yeah, moderate amount, I guess.
I mean, I see you have a light on, like a miner's light around your forehead, and it's still on. I wondered, have you been doing this since earlier tonight?
Yeah.
So how many hours have you been preparing for this?
Well, we've been doing it since, you know, Friday night when they told us. Really, I mean, everyone just kind of gets stressed out, you know, when you hear that. So start, you know, picking up and getting ready to go.
Are there many children in this encampment?
No, I've never seen... Honestly, I don't see children in any of our encampments, no.
There's some children now in the Benchlands encampment, I know that. Not many, I'm told.
Oh, really?
Well, that's what at least one of the people there told me.
Oh, crazy, yeah, I don't know about... I don't really go over there, but yeah, no, that's news to me.
Did they offer you a place to go from here, the city authorities, or Caltrans?
Yeah, jail.
That was it?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Huh.
Well, have you got a number you can be reached at yourself?
Yeah.
The reason I ask is I'd like to maybe call you a couple of days and say, how's it going?
And here, you know, you don't have to say anything more that you want to say, but want to trying to stay in touch. Here's a one if you can. And let me give you a pen to use. Find one. Here we go. Write it. Print it real big, because I'm. So we exchanged numbers. So what? Again, we've been talking with.
Paul.
Hey, Paul. Any thoughts about this you want to pass on to the community?
I don't know. Just we're people too, I guess. You know what I mean? We don't like being out here any more than you like us to be. You know. So I don't know. Learn how to. I don't know, coexist, I guess. Not eat it so much, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, here. I feel like shit.
Yeah.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, thank you, man.
So you know where to find me by phone, anyway.
To move today. Everyone has to move today, and it's D-Day, which is move day. And so...
Dog shit day, so to speak.
Yeah. Everybody has to move, and... So I'm here helping a friend of mine move.
Yeah. So you don't live here yourself?
No, I don't.
Are you outside yourself?
Yes, I am.
And have you been forced to move from where you've been? And if so, when was that?
Yeah, it's been about a year. I'm under a freeway overpass. So that's where I'm at.
Pretty much hidden from view?
Yeah, yeah.
How many folks are there with you?
Like about, on the other side of the creek, there's like six altogether. Yeah.
For a year or just recently?
Yeah, for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how does that go? Are you supporting each other? I mean, does it work well?
Yeah, it works okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm, currently trying to find housing with, housing coordinator person at the shelter. So
how long have you been trying to do that?
3 years.
How you doing, Gloria?
Yeah.
All right.
3 years.
3 years. That's a long time to be looking for housing.
I know. But there's not much available, really, that it's affordable. So that's my predicament.
You have a regular check that comes in?
Yes, I do. I'm a disabled veteran, so...
How much could you afford if you could afford anything?
$800 to $1,000, I guess, a month. Yeah.
Dig it.
Yeah.
I borrow your lighter real quick, guys.
Yeah.
And what's your first name?
Scott.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah.
So, I'm trying to set up a network of people who want to... get in touch with each other if they do, if anything happens. You know, it's like, here the cops are coming, or something good has happened, or, you know. So if you want, would you be up for giving a contact number?
Sure.
All right. Here's a pen. There you go.
Right.
So, Scott, is there anything you want to say to the folks out there who are listening, if they are?
Yeah. Don't give up. Hopefully... by meeting with the city council and or the people who are in charge of making ordinances, we can have a safe place to sleep somewhere. That would be ideal, and hopefully it won't be illegal to have a tent site in the future. Yeah.
How long have you had a tent site yourself?
About 2 years. 2 or 3 years. Yeah.
How many times has that site been removed?
About 4 times. So it feels like whack-a-mole. You know, that game where hot potato, or you have to move from one space to another, and they just keep making it more difficult for the locals to find a safe place to live, you know? That's it. Yeah.
Dig it. Well, I'm running out of questions. Anything you want to, anything else you want to say?
No, thank you, and thanks for the work you do, and have a good day.
Yeah. You too.
Yeah, okay. All right.
At least you got a place to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Is the friend you're helping move got a place to go to?
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Are a bunch of people going there or just a few?
There's a bunch of people there already, and it's pretty much supervised by that guy. I can't think of his name, but he has the facility over the footbridge over there.
Oh, Brent Adams?
Yeah, yeah, Brent Adams.
Is that Felker Street area?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's where we're headed, yeah.
And have you been there for long?
Yeah, I guess he has, yeah.
How about you? Have you been there?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
I mean, you're somewhere else. You're in a different place.
Yeah, yeah. I'm in a different place. Yeah.
Do you have any reports on how things are over there at the Felker place?
It's supposedly run pretty well over there. It's an okay area to camp, so that's where we're headed right now. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Scott.
All right. Thank you.
All right. And if you want, here's my card. One day here along the freeway. Morning. Here, anything new?
We gotta be out by, we were supposed to be out by 8 o'clock. The Caltrain is coming from down there and they're taking all your shit.
Have you got a place to go?
No.
So, wow. What next?
I don't know.
And they're not offering you any place?
Nope.
Except, of course, for jail or tickets.
Yeah. And when they told us Friday we had to move out by Monday, there was trash cans all along here. They've been here. They hauled them all off, so that everybody's going to have to leave their trash here because there's no trash cans now.
Great. How long have you been here yourself, if you want to say?
A year. Since it first started.
And how long? Oh, yeah? How has it been going for the last year?
It's been pretty good. But now that COVID is
Disappearing.
They're kicking you out.
Did they ever? So they did have trash cans, but they took them all out.
Trash is picked up every other day, or sometimes every day. They had trash cans, and they came by like once a month with a big dumpster so people could throw their stuff in. And Friday, when they put up the notices, you had to move out, they hauled the trash cans away. So that way it looks like it's going to be all trashy, because nobody has a place to throw the shit.
Well, that means they don't have to provide you with anywhere to go, because you're just a bunch of trash people.
Yeah.
That's just great. Are there many people from the fire here?
I know there's a lot of people from the valley that are here, up that way.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were actually impacted by the fire or not.
Any message you want to pass on to the broader community through this net broadcast that I do?
That, you know, they got that big sign that says about housing matters, how they have housed
Lab people.
Is that right? Well, I figured it out. They just displaced 275 people.
You would say there's 275 people here.
Yeah, well, there's an average of 3 people per tent, and there's over 100 tents on this side and that side. Do the math. That's 300 people.
And as far as you know, I heard one guy say he'd been given an opportunity for a motel in Watsonville, but he wasn't too happy with that one. But
that's the roadway in that's down by Riverside. Half that is for people that are tested positive for COVID. That's the quarantine place. And the other half is for people that have a voucher and they're waiting to get find a place.
So you were offered that yourself or not?
Nope.
Well, maybe they don't like your bandana.
Maybe they might not.
You want to say what your name is? Your first?
No, I don't, because...
Give yourself a name.
Fred.
All right, here's a card in case you want to get in touch. And talk about whatever shit's going down, because I do this regularly.
Oh, I know you.
If you remember.
Yeah.
And I gave you one of these flyers.
Yes, I got him up on.
Okay, off. There's no pooch here.
I tell you, folks, life is pure hell for the board of directors of Shell. And imagine the stress on a Getty or Hess when your best source of cash is the absence of gas. Now me, I'm an Exxon exec. I got oil reserves up to my neck. We got no gas today, but if you're willing to pay, I'm sure that we'll find it somewhere. Oh, I'm sure that we'll find it somewhere. We will pull it right out of thin air. We will take one more look in our little black book. There's some cranny or nook that we've just overlooked. I'm sure that we'll find it somewhere. A few billion barrels to spare. Oh, supplies, they are tight, but when the price it is right, I'm sure that we'll find it somewhere. Once our energy future looked bleak, so we laid all the blame on a sheik. First we quietly warned him, then threatened to palm him. Now we're learning from him, we've so much in common. Now we gladly pay OPEC its due and just pass on the price hikes to you. Gas flows through our holes if you pay through the nose. I knew that we'd find it somewhere. I must tell you, you're all doing fine. Oh, your patience while waiting in line. When one station will do, why should we support two? We've closed down quite a few, and the thanks goes to you. We're exploring for oil all the time, and I swear that we don't make a dime. We keep hitting dry wells, but at $1 a gallon, I'm sure that we'll find it somewhere. Oh, I'm sure that we'll find it somewhere. We will pull it right out of thin air. We will take one more look in our little black book. There's some cranny or nook that we've just overlooked. I'm sure we'll find it somewhere. A few billion barrels to spare. Oh, supplies, they are tight, but when the price it is right, I'm sure that we'll find it somewhere. Don't buy soft-headed, dewy-eyed dreams about socialist price-fixing schemes. Let the prices expand till they meet the demand. We can all lend a hand, help pre-enterprise stand. We've got oil, coal, and uranium. Yum. And we just bought a piece of the sun. If our coffers you'll feed, you'll get all that you need. For a limited time only, I'm sure that we'll find it. You know that we'll find it. I'm sure that we'll find it somewhere.
And that was Charlie King from his album Vaguely Reminiscent, I'm Sure That We'll Find It Somewhere. Now I'm afraid we're going to go back to Highway 1 and Highway 9, where there's not much to find left.
Would you like a flyer?
No. What does it say? Is it about
the stop?
Stop the. I mean.
You know, the next week. Actually.
Oh, yeah.
This one is going strong, unfortunately.
Yeah. Crazy.
Here to help or a resident?
Yeah, I'm well and also from harm reduction.
Well, you know my ideas on it.
Well, let's hear them.
Here you go.
Care for a flyer?
Thank you.
Cool. Now in front of the 950 people house sign, and the area is largely cleared out, but there are no trash bins here, and only counting about a dozen people who are moving out at the moment, so most people have moved out. There are no police here. There are cones along the highway walling off the far right lane. And there's one vehicle here parked helping people move. See Brent Adams' squad here, a couple of harm reduction folks, but appreciate person. And there's a few people watching. Hey guys, have a flyer if you want. Flyer?
I'm okay, thank you.
Are you? Just taking an eye, huh? Keeping a watch on things.
Somebody else.
And there's a train that stopped here from Southern Pacific. I guess they don't want to sweep through, or maybe it's a disposal train. I'm not sure. Big trees, Pacific. People are packing up their stuff on wagons. Far more stuff than they can carry away. So it's about 20 to 9 on May 10th, 2021, in the kind of talking with Gloria here, who has walked the length of the Highway 1, Highway 9 encampment from the railroad tracks to the Funding Matters sign, as I like to describe their Housing Matters sign. What did you see, Gloria?
A lot of tents and structures were gone. There was a lot of debris. I passed a section that reeked of urine, and I don't know what to make of that, unless that was the spot where they had to use. Anyway, I walked down, and I saw some people being busy near the end of the section, and I was looking around for Caltrans, so I asked them, where's Caltrans? I thought they were supposed to be here, and they said they're all around. They were just keeping, a distance.
And in fact, Caltrans and the Highway Patrol were directly across Highway 9 on the other side of the street. About 15 or 20 vehicles lined up one after another, apparently getting rid of tents on that side of the street or doing some kind of construction work or perhaps just waiting. It wasn't entirely clear to me. I would say that in my previous visits to Highway 1 and Highway 9, I saw no porta-potties. There were two over on Coral Street, but there was nothing placed near Highway 1, where the tent encampment started, next to the 950 people housed, blaring advertisement of the Coral Street Complex, the poverty industrial complex.
But they've been observing, apparently.
Well, I know up in Berkeley, although I didn't see it, Berkeley was organized by one housed activist, and presumably a number of people, residents in the camp there, and the Where Can We Go or Where Do We Go camp, that where Caltrans essentially were, they were told by people, we won't move. And as a consequence, perhaps because of Martin versus Boise, perhaps because Caltrans was afraid of lawsuits that had been successful the year before by Osha Newman and others up there winning millions of dollars from them, they came to an agreement where they would, I don't know if they agreed to pick up trash or simply to leave the camps alone, but they did agree to something. But again, the key issue is people themselves deciding they want whatever strategy they want to use. And nobody here talked about resisting. There was a sort of resigned, sometimes rather angry or cynical tone I got from the four or five people I talked with. But
did anyone say where they were planning to go?
Yeah, well, I asked that. A number of people suggested some are going to the Poganip. Some are coming down to help their friends from where they were. There was a couple of harm reduction people helping out. Some people didn't know where they were going to go. Many people were loading onto little kind of pull-along vehicles, wagons. And that was what they were doing.
People are very skeptical.
Oh, yeah. He waved?
He did this.
Oh, good.
Yeah. He had to see you first.
Oh, okay. I'm the one who's got the sun in my eyes. We're sitting here in a vehicle as we, on whatever the heck this main street is that intersects with Coral Street, one of the few places you can park nearby, as these folks walk along, rolling their possessions with them.
So what do you think is going to happen?
Oh, I think they're going to clear it all away. Probably fence it off. Well, they don't need enforcement. They can scare people away. That's the whole strategy in Santa Cruz generally has always been that.
They've been outside. They're without facilities. They can't get clean. I mean, Jesus.
Well, there's also no...
And right along the highway where you hear, you know, have car exhaust, noise all the time. A strong, apparently, drug presence there, according to Alicia. That was, she said the...
I don't see Alicia here this morning.
No, of course not.
So, I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm not saying there isn't a reason for it. She works over the hill. I don't know what her schedule is. I didn't see anybody who was sufficiently inarticulate that I couldn't talk to them, and they were peaceable. I did meet one guy. You may have seen him on the tracks with a hammer in his hand who was talking scripture.
Oh.
Of some kind.
A hammer in his hand.
Yeah, well, a lot of people had hammers in their hands because they were putting their tools away. This guy, I'm not sure what this guy was. I think he was just, he's encamped over here. He doesn't seem to be doing much other than seeking out some issue about Isaiah, which I'm not sure what that's about. But, you know, he was sociable in that way. He was only interested in talking about his issue, which wasn't my issue. So, that was that.
Did anyone say they were going down to the benchlands?
Some people said they weren't going to the benchlands because they had bad experiences there in the past. One or two people may have said that, or did say that. I'm not sure how many did. I don't know. There really were very few people left, I would say. About a dozen people all in all. A couple of women and mostly men. And anything else you've got? Any thoughts?
No.
Okay.
So now I'm going to jump back a week to May 3rd, which was the supposed deadline. It was actually the second of three deadlines that quickly followed each other. One was Thursday the week before, then May 3rd on Monday, and then finally, I believe the next, actually it was Friday the week before, and then it was the next Thursday at noon was the final day for evacuation of the San Lorenzo Park upper area. We set up a table on the 3rd, some of us with Huff and the Santa Cruz Homeless Union and other activists. And just, I was distributing a questionnaire about what would you like done, something I was concerned that perhaps hadn't been done as fully as might have been done, and hopefully still needs to be done. And I think it does need to be done, hopefully will be done, in the benchlands to find out what people really are wanting, what they need. And here's a few interviews from the May 3rd. Continuing on, I guess, if you were listening to earlier broadcasts, which I did earlier in the morning, and this is, I think it's about 9 or 9:30 when we tune in on this particular day in this particular scene. It's on Dakota Street at the entrance to San Lorenzo Park, anticipating a police sweep that never came that day.
Teddy, Theo, Theodore, out late today.
Talking with Teddy, anything happened to you this morning you want to comment on?
Yeah, the policing threats need to stop, and the communication, the removal of excess clutter and the self-governing of people to keep more quiet hours and thoughtfulness, less yelling and fighting, needs to be put into position. We need to find leaders within the encampments themselves that can handle the governing job and give them the empowerment and do less policing. There's going to be less hours, less drama, and more peace if we empower the people to take care of themselves and also arrange for like government drop-offs of like trash bins, like large ones, so at the encampments throughout.
Teddy, what encampment are you at?
I am currently down here
in the benchlands.
In the benchlands, but what I see is I've been a homeless 18 years. Cops move places and then throw out all the shit because they quickly have to save what they want the most, and then everything else gets thrown out because it's so much trash.
I hear you.
And that's why they're pushing them out. If we can stop that communication barrier and actually get the heads of the encampments getting people to force them to say, hey, you got to clean this stuff up. Otherwise, the cops are going to come down here. So you take it over to that trash thing. The city will pick it up on this day.
I think it's a good idea. How many people do you think are left up here in the upper part?
60, maybe.
60, you think?
Yeah.
And do they want to, are they refusing to move, or are they just, should we say, waiting for the police to come and say move?
Some are refusing to move because they're tired of being threatened. And I don't blame them. They just want a safe place. And I don't need a threat. All they need is an explanation for why you're constantly moving me, which would be the over-accumulation of crap and the disrespect and disregard for the rest of the community when they're leaving, you know, paraphernalia and stuff out.
Are you a long-time resident yourself here?
I have been in and out of Santa Cruz for 7 years, but I've been in many communities where this is an issue and got to witness it. I was mostly a hammock-bound person that would have very little, carry everything, or, you know, I always had a very clean encampment. I always liked to have my peace. Now I'm stuck in this, but I'm here to put out fires.
Now, you think you're going to be in the benchlands long? I see that the number seems to have increased.
No, I don't think I'll be here very long. I'm hoping to get into a room for rent. I'm on disability, but I'm trying to get in as a caregiver and maybe help clean up the city and supplement my income so I can get a room for rent,
hey,
make more space here.
Hey, Charles. So, you feel one of these out, haven't you?
I started to.
There's another one. This thing. Here's a pencil. I feel like it. And he's got
a different.
He's got a different form for you. And how's Chris going here, though?
Huh?
How's it going? Any bites?
Yeah, one. Just a Drew guy.
Jedi, yeah, he's part of the union already.
Okay.
See, I'm mostly a hammock-bound person or somebody that carries everything on their back. So I've never been threatened because I never have clutter.
Dig it. Have you got a number you can reach that? Or?
Yeah, I do.
If you feel like putting it down, I'll try to contact you. Also an email if you want to be on our email list, you can do that.
Yeah.
And the idea that people are moved because they're creating clutter is, I think, generally a fallacious idea. It's certainly true that that's true on occasion, but usually the reason for moving has to do with the aesthetic sense or the profit-making sense of a nearby business or resident worried about his or her property values, some kind of new gentrification development going in, pressure from an anti-homeless group that just wants visible homeless people to be moved away, not really caring whether their property exists as long as it doesn't exist visibly in their area. And I think homeless people tend to buy the idea that they are responsible for these, or that some, clutterers in their community are responsible for the seemingly cruel and irrational police raids, moving people to nowhere and then moving them again and again and again. Because it has to be somebody's fault. There has to be some rational basis. But the answer is that there isn't. Or the only rational basis has to do with the preferences and powers of a group that has the power to do that and is continuing to do it and will continue to do it until countervailing power is mobilized and used. So we're going to interrupt now with an announcement or two. Here's a sort of a bye-bye from former Freedom Sleeper Phil Posner. You may remember Phil. He was one of the co-founders of the Freedom Sleepers. It's really named after his own Freedom Writers work during the 60s down in the South, fighting for civil rights for African Americans down there. Here in Santa Cruz in 2015, we began a weekly series of protests on Tuesday nights in front of City Hall demanding an end to the sleeping ban sections of the camping ordinance. Of course, what you have now is a 24-hour sleeping and camping ban all over the city that's coming up once they provide some pretextual shelter. And that's, I suppose, something else I should mention that was passed on Tuesday night, 2 days ago, on May 11th at the City Council. For a first reading. I don't have the actual text of the final law, and there were a few clinks and clunks that were changed, but generally speaking, it was the basic ordinance that was passed was, as mandated by the staff and by the City Council previously, it was to ban camping anywhere and everywhere all over the city, period, once there have been limited, that's their phrase, for what I would call token shelter and storage facilities set up. That will give the police the power to go after people and tell them, supposedly, we have a place for you, get into that place, or else you will be warned, ticketed, and then arrested, and then presumably dealt with things like stay-away orders, which can put you in jail for up to a year. Misdemeanor crimes for violating this renewed camping ordinance. It's a really nasty law, but it's not really, as I said, that pertinent to what the police actually do, because since they're not going to have adequate storage and sleeping areas or shelter spaces, if you will, they can't really enforce it given the federal court's Martin versus Boise case. Or if they do, they have to worry that some ambitious attorney will, or principled attorney, as Anthony Prince is, will take the issue to court and take them to court and sue them and make them spend a bunch of money and also embarrass them. I guess that's really the more important thing, since none of these people suffer any financial loss. The police don't suffer any financial liability for their abusive behavior toward homeless people at night. The homeless people don't get their property back, and they can't, of course, get the sleep and the health back that was stolen by these endless sweeps. So I didn't listen to the entire evening's debate. I did notice that the debate was essentially limited to a minute per speaker, an hour total speaking time. Only six groups were allowed to speak. I was not allowed to speak, even though I represent a group and put in my request in a timely manner on Sunday. So it was the usual, I went somewhere between slipshod, negligent, and intentionally discriminatory process. It's a little hard to tell exactly what's going on. But it's not hard to tell what the which way the city's council's foul wind is blowing. And that's pretty much the expected outcome of the city council's activities on Tuesday night. I hope on Sunday, if I can find someone who had the patience to listen through the entire afternoon agenda, to comment on some of the things that happened there. I believe they drew up some preliminary district elections plan, which is I'm wondering if it's a camouflage attempt using supposed attempts to get just representation for Latinos or Latinx folks, instead really excluding the university vote or marginalizing it in ending citywide voting, where the university has had a strong, some would say disproportionate impact on voting here in Santa Cruz. But I was talking about Phil Posner and the Freedom Sleepers. Phil was a part of that for a number of months and maintained his interest in defending the right of homeless people and elderly and disabled people, the community generally, in fact, to use bathrooms that bigoted forces or staff members prone to be sympathetic to pandering to bigoted forces have been closing down or not keeping up city bathrooms. Specifically, we'd focused on the Loudoun-Nelson bathrooms, which as of this date are still closed. Of course, so is the Loudoun-Nelson Center. I ran into Skidmark Bob Duran, who now works for Parks and Rec and was part of that crew that was justifying that a bathroom closure. The claim was vandalism or, I don't know, needle disposal, improper needle disposal. Of course, they've removed the Sharps containers years ago from there, so I don't know what they expect. And I wanted to get Bob on the air, but I think he's too concerned about his position as a Parks and Rec worker. But, you know, that's just a preliminary feeling I have when I talked to him in, I guess, 2017 or 2018. Anyway, Phil is headed for Mexico. I think it may be, I'm not sure if it's, he wants to establish greater communication with Mexican folks, or whether it's cheaper down there, or whether, who knows what's going on. But he wrote me a note, and I'm going to read it here. Dear fellow activists, shalom, time to say goodbye. As many of you know, we have sold out mobile home and are moving to Mexico, Lake Chapala near Guadalajara. We will miss so many lovely people who have come to know, we've come to know in Santa Cruz. We don't want to just disappear, so Sunday, May 16th at 3, come to the Sunset Arboretum at El Rio and have a slice of pie on us. If you want to contact us, it's chatrabbi@aol.com or 831-332-2446. Hasta la vista. So if you want to say goodbye to Phil Posner and company, check him out this Sunday at 3 o'clock at the Sunset Arboretum at El Rio. Let's take a musical break.
When the carpenters quit, this was only a shell. I want to make it my own, so I'm working like hell. Work the genie plant till 11 or 12. Then I'm home hanging sheet rocking, working on the trim. When the plant lays me off for a hard luck streak, I take a job at a club and I'm dancing for a week. It's the way to make a living, but the kids gotta eat, and I always seem to make my own way. You better take me as you find me, just cause you find me don't mean you had to take me. If you can't take the way you find me, you can just feel me alone. I put a lot of living behind me, seen some hard times, they didn't break me. You better take me as you find me, building my boy and me a home. Driving home from the swing shift, I need a vacation. Cop pulls me over, one more aggravation. Let me see your license and registration. Pull up behind that building over there. He sticks his head in the window, starts making moves on me. Jump back, Jack, you know you don't scare me. I'd love to tell your story to some jury. Leave him in the dust, make my weary way home. You better take me as you find me. Just cause you find me, don't mean you can't take me. If you can't take the way you find me, buddy, better leave me alone. I've put a lot of living behind me, seen some hard times, they didn't break me. You better take me as you find me, building my boy and me a home. My pay stays the same, but my grocery bill's rising. Getting mighty weary of this free enterprise. Took the notion in my hand, do a little organizing. So I start talking union to the people at the plant. The foreman says, sister, you're drawing your pay here. We ain't subsidizing no norm array here. I'll keep talking union as long as I stay here. I think we're gonna see it someday. For suggestions at the end of the line. I know my job well, so I make them all the time. Every month they pick a winner, this month it's mine. Here comes the guy from personnel with a camera around his neck. He says the boys at the top here at General Electric ain't gonna like you in that no nukes t-shirt. He took me as he found me. The bosses had to print it big as life in their GE magazine. They had to take me as they found me. Just cause they find me don't mean they can take me. If they can't take the way they find me, they can just leave me alone. I put a lot of living behind me, seen some hard times, they didn't break me. You better take me as you find me, building my boy and he alone.
So I'm having some time constraints, so we're going to jump to a large piece of the protest in front of City Hall last Tuesday. That's the day before yesterday, when City Hall, without any kind of real open process or concern about the impact this would have on the people who live outside, passed the sicko law, as I call it. It's why the sicko law? Well, it's kind of the way it sounds when you look at the abbreviation. It's CSSO, the Camping Standards and Services Ordinance. So I think I have that right. Something around there. Anyway, and forgive the mic that goes on and off at different intervals. Anyway, here's a chunk of that protest. We're going to probably hear more of it on Sunday. And we're going to leave musical breaks aside for the time being, but you've had a number, and you'll probably be hearing more if you tune in again, and I'm giving you something to tune into again on Sunday. We'll see how that goes. In the meantime, if you want to reach me to talk about any of the issues you've heard going on the air, if you want to volunteer for any of the projects that we're working on, and there's a whole variety of them. If you get interested in the organization I work with, HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, We're talking about meeting next time in the Benchlands where people are actually living and catching some more sense of what folks down there think are important issues to address, but presenting our issues too as to what we think are, well, at least what I'll be presenting my issues, and the people in the other, in the rest of the group will be presenting their issues. We'll all be presenting our various perspectives on what to do, and then maybe taking some action on them, which is more important than all the dialogue in the world, as far as I'm concerned. But so rarely happens. I mean, it's sad that we allow these sweeps to happen down at Highway 1 and Highway 9 without a real response. Instead, we have people spending their time working on the TOLO, or I'm glad the injunction continues to be in place at least for a month, but it's it looks like the way the judge is talking that he's going to disperse it after, well, the end of June when he's planning to come back. You can judge yourself what you've heard from that, and there's a lot of dysfunctionality in the disagreements between activists, but then again, perhaps we all have to work on our own roads, and maybe just the mere volume of activity will have some impact on the city. That's, I guess, my saying goodbye now, because I have to put in a large clip, and that's going to sort of carry us through to the end of this two-hour show. But thanks for listening, and here's a lot of the protest and dialogue that happened in front of City Hall. A relatively small number of people, there were about 20 or 25 of us. Keith McHenry set up a banner and a table and some snacks and some drinks and a bullhorn, and people talked, and you're going to hear them now.